Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are always here every single day to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. If you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Pete and Carolyn Haas. Really one of my favorite conversations in such a long time. If you are someone who's got some dreams in your heart, but it feels like they're on the back burner, they've been delayed for a while, you've got to go back and catch the podcast from the First Hour program today. That podcast will be up in just a little bit on our website at myfaithradio.com. But here's a question for this hour. Are you ready for it? Are you feeling soul weary these days? Are you in need of refreshment and renewed perspective? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, is the power of rest. And you often hear me say, if you listen often enough, that I think rest is the most underrated spiritual discipline in the Christian life. Well, my guest today offers a recovery plan to reconnect with God and get back to a place of feeling refreshed. Some very simple, doable disciplines that I think that they're easy to do, but they're just as easy not to. But when we start to make a priority and we see the fruit of a rested, assured life, we won't want to do anything different. Vicki Courtney joins me in just a moment. The title of her book is Rest Assured, A Recovery Plan for the Weary Soul. I'm just thinking this is going to be a healing balm for your soul. Before we get around, we've got a quick announcement that we are so excited to be partnering with Angel Tree again this year. Our goal is to sponsor 1,200 children because thousands upon thousands of children have parents incarcerated this year. $73 will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, message of the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. We want to do whatever you can. You'll find information on our website at myfaithradio.com. But know this, you give a gift, you change a life. Truly, it's amazing when you think of these children who are looking around, watching other families who are intact, celebrating the holiday season, while they're feeling forgotten, like a have-not. But when some of these kids receive a gift through the Angel Tree Ministry, they go on to become Christ followers, pastors. You can't believe the stories we've heard of kids who've been recipient of these gifts. Let's listen to another Angel Tree story.
The most passionate Angel Tree volunteers are those who have themselves been rescued. Do you know what it's like to absolutely hit bottom? Antonio remembers.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like Daddy left them. Daddy didn't care about them. They were left back with their mom struggling because I cared more about drugs than I did about them.
Back home, Alicia wanted and expected nothing from Antonio. This was his fourth time back in prison, and she thought no power on earth could save him.
If you'd have known him 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with him. He was a very scary person. He was very violent and very selfish. And when God broke him, he broke him.
God visited Stateville cell T-235.
God came when I was in prison in Stateville in cell T-235. It was the first time that I met Jesus Christ. As soon as I got a taste of Jesus, that sweet, sweet taste of Jesus, is when I began just trying to serve the Lord. It's not about me at all anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about my wife. It's about my children.
Antonio and Alicia know desperation, but they also know restoration. Their pastor asked them to head up Angel Tree for their church. That first year, they stretched their resources and decided their little church in the middle of a crime-ridden, drug-infested neighborhood could reach out to 10 children.
We asked for 10 children's names, and we got them. And I was just curious at how many more children there were that weren't taken. And I was told that there were 75 other children that were on the list for Angel Tree and no church had taken them.
We can celebrate 10 children being remembered, but we can't ignore 75 children denied. For Antonio, it was especially troubling. He knows what Angel Tree means to an incarcerated parent.
That's a very big thing in prison, to be able to fill out the application in hopes that some kind person, they're going to give from their heart. And that gift is not coming from them. It's addressed with my name on it. And Angel Tree is a worthy cause.
Will you partner with Alicia and Antonio in this worthy cause? Can you help bring Christmas and the sweet love of Jesus to one or two Angel Tree kids?
Isn't that powerful? If you feel especially tugged in your heart to connect with Angel Tree, check out the information on our website at myfaithradio.com. And one more quick announcement before we get Vicki Courtney on with us is this is the month of the Great Giveaway. It's a Live the Promise promotion, something we do every year where we're mobilizing you to be the hands and feet of Christ. The question is, what's the best thing you can do with $15? We chose $15 just as an average amount, but truly that number is between you and the Lord. But I'm asking you to get outside your comfort zone. Ask God, what would you have me do? Maybe it's bring a pie across the street. Maybe it's send money to a homeless shelter. Maybe it's to pool your money together with some friends and put a party together for parents of special needs kids. That's what one of our winners was one year. But on December 17th, we're dedicating both hours to your phone calls where you're coming back from the mission field, so to speak, telling your amazing stories, which inspires all of us. Everybody who gets on the air will get books off of our Faith Radio shelf, some Christmas candy. Two of the most inspiring stories will win gift baskets that full of goodies as our way of saying thank you for mobilizing and being the hands and feet. I just want you to imagine thousands of people, surprising people who don't expect to be ministered to this year because you responded to that little nudge from God. Would you be involved with a great giveaway? The gift, and the way that you give the gift is all between you and the Lord, but I pray you'll consider it. All right, let me tell you about my guest today. We'll get her on the show. Vicki Courtney's a national speaker and the best-selling author of numerous books and Bible studies. She and her husband have three grown children, a son in love, two daughters in love, and two amazing grandsons. You can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Vicki, so nice to meet you. I feel like we should have met by now, but I'm glad to meet you.
Well, same here. I totally agree. I've been a fan of yours for a while, and it's amazing that we're just now connecting.
I know. Isn't that something? Wow. Well, we love to start out all of our conversations, Vicki, with Scripture. Love the passage you chose, Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Vicki, talk about that passage, if you would.
Well, it's one of those passages that I remember from early on becoming a Christian. And, you know, I've been busy my entire life. I feel like as I look back, I've been building a resume since I was in preschool, wearing myself out. And so that scripture, early on when I came across it as a new believer at the age of 21, resonated with me. And I memorized it at that time and stored it away in my heart. And let me tell you, it's been one of these that I've had to go back to over and over again. I feel like it's, I don't know if your listeners can relate, but there are, you know, certain scriptures that God has to keep reteaching us over the years.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely one on my top 10 list of scriptures that God ever so gently nudges me, nudges my heart with. Quite often. And so, that's been a reoccurring theme in my life is just a weariness of the soul.
Reoccurring theme of weariness of the soul. Appreciate your honesty there, Vicki, because so many people I know can relate to that. What culminated for you? How did you get to a place where suddenly you thought things have got to change and you implemented some of those changes?
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting about that is I got to that place just about every year, right around this time. No shock in that where, you're overwhelmed, you're coming to the end of the year and you're beginning to question those New Year's resolutions and how will next year, possibly look different. It's been something where each year I would start the year by saying this year is going to be different. I am going to slow down. Maybe some of your listeners have said that before. I am not going to commit to as many things. I am going to make some changes. And so that was, something that in theory, I wanted to do those things. I wanted to find rest for my soul. I wanted to reconnect with the Lord. And I was tight with the Lord. I mean, it was, I wasn't giving up quiet times and things like that. But it was just a weariness of having little to no margin left in my days. And so I hit a wall probably about 2 years ago. I was doing a lot of traveling and speaking, multiple book deadlines and Bible study deadlines. And I had been really going at this pace for so long that it became the default pace in my life. And I hit a wall and was just absolutely exhausted and knew that I've got to do something about this. There's no more making excuses. And maybe some of your listeners can relate, but you know, this is that I talk about chronic busyness is just one of the things I talk about in the book. I talk about, you know, some other things as well, worry, how that, you know, robs us of rest in our souls, and the overconnected society in which we live. We're tethered souls now, and you know, all these things that take a toll on our souls. And so I wrote the book from this place of I had walked this road of healing after the burnout that I'm talking about. And but I would want your listeners to know that doesn't mean that I don't relapse, you know. And so what the book did for me was I was able to share the truths God taught me, that once I finally slowed down and began to really tap into more of the why do I fall into the same negative patterns, then at least I could catch myself. And that's what I share at the beginning of the book. This is not a quick fix. This is not one of those books that, you know, you read it and it gives you three ways to trim your calendar. This is, and I'll probably scare anyone off from even getting it, but I share in part one, it's an intervention of sorts, like enough already. You know, it's for that person who's like, okay, I've tried the quick fixes. This goes beyond the 10 tips you read in a magazine to declutter your life. You know, we try that all the time and it hasn't worked. You make it through two or three and you're back to the same old, same old. And so this is really tapping into why, you know, are these bad habits there? And then, of course, the solution, the recovery plan that I spend the last part of the book, you know, diving into.
Well, we're going to take a break in just a couple minutes, but I want to just read the first section, chapter titles, The Badge of Busyness, The Exhausting Pursuit of Happiness, Tethered Souls, and Worried Sick. And maybe you relate to something on that list. We're going to try to cover those. And then the next section is prioritizing the one thing needed, and that's time for God. Create room to breathe. That's time for solitude. Give yourself a break. Time for leisure. Pay it forward. Time for others. And that's what I mean about these are, I don't want to call them simple things, but they are simple in that I think these are the things that get forced out, which make us exhausted, because we need time for solitude. We need time for God. We need time to do something that our heart enjoys. And we're wired to connect with others in fulfilling, fruitful ways. So we'll talk about those in a little bit. But before we go to the break, speak a word, if you would, about the badge of busyness.
Oh, wow. Well, that's, you know, that's probably one of my biggest ones. And just so your listeners know, I've bought into all four enemies of rest that you just mentioned, which is why I was qualified to write about it. But that one in particular is one that, like I joked at the beginning, instead of been building a resume since I was in preschool, this is, you know, the person who has a hard time saying no in a nutshell. And so once again, you know, I had to tap into why is it that some of us have a hard time saying no? Why do we really, we fill every blank, you know, pause in our day with more activity? And when we attempt to slow down, we try it, and then we usually relapse back to, oh, I've got some time, I'll do it, you know? And so it's a never-ending cycle of chronic busyness.
Is it fear? Is it insecurity? Is it, what is it?
Well, what I do is I, you know, in that particular chapter, I talk about how there's usually for most of us a payoff involved. And we have to really, again, dig deep. What is your particular payoff? And I give three different ones. Mine that I was falling into more often than not was identity. I had basically based my identity on doing, serving, performing. And this had been a habit that had been in my life early on, as I mentioned. And so it was hard for me to break away from that. I am only worth something or value when I am performing or serving. And to really give myself permission to be still.
And know that He is God. Talking to Vicki Courtney today. Title of her book is Rest Assured, A Recovery Plan for Weary Souls. You want to chime into the conversation? We've got a couple copies, right? Grace, do we have a couple copies? We have a handful of copies. Love to get you get one into your hands. This is a perfect way, I think, to go into the holiday season, learn to rest. 877-933-2484. Call with your question, comment, chime in, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Vicki Courtney when we return. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Happy to be talking to Vicki Courtney today, author of the book Rest Assured, A Recovery Plan for Weary Souls. And we're talking about the badge of busyness. And Vicki writes, I realized that something deep within my being was compelling me to maintain the breakneck pace. Something drove me to fill every brief pause or empty hour with more activities and commitments. I desperately wanted to put my foot on the brakes and exit the fast lane, but I couldn't bring myself to actually stop the frenzy. I hated the pace, but at the same time, I needed it. I complained about it in one breath and bragged about it in the next. Maybe that should have been my first clue that something was terribly broken in my soul. You know, Vicki, sometimes we get to that place where we drive ourselves right into a wall, and we can't get out of bed. I mean, when you hit that place where you thought something is wrong with my soul, what were some of the very first steps that you took?
Well, I began to look at my calendar and go kind of through, you know, item by item, and what can I take off my plate? And, you know, I think sometimes we feel like, well, I made a commitment, and I'm not saying we shouldn't honor our commitments, but there are some things that we commit to that we could get some help with or delegate out, or even, you know, if you've got enough lead time, give some notice and say, hey, here's the situation. I am suffering from, you know, tremendous burnout. I overcommitted. I need to take some things off my plate. And there, you know, are those that if you're able to, you know, to make some adjustments, people will have some mercy, you know, and help you out. And, you know, the other thing I found, Susie, is that a lot of times I was committing to things because, you know, those of us who are doers and servers, and your listeners will be able to relate if they know this, we are the ones who get asked to do about 85 to 95% of everything at church and everywhere. And you know why? It's because we can't say no. And so people know we will usually do it. But by not saying no and giving ourselves time to recharge, the other thing that happens there is that we don't give other people a chance who God may be calling to serve in that particular area to use their gifts and their talents. And so, you know, the minute we start thinking we're the only one that can do a job, then we're in dangerous ground, because God honestly doesn't need any of us to accomplish his purposes. And so even, you know, it's a privilege and honor to walk alongside him, and he allows us to be a part of his kingdom agenda. But we don't, it's not us who are, we're not going out and closing the deals here. And so we need to remind ourselves that, you know, that God has appointed many people to the harvest. And so we're, you know, we're not responsible to do it all. And, you know, and that's a very freeing place to arrive, you know, when you get there.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, just you're so right that there are the first responders, and we're always first to respond. But if we can push the brakes, you know, and pause and wait, and if God's not, my mentor always says, if he's not giving you a capital yes, then it's a no. Because you really got to have a strong sense. It's like, I could do, but, you know, is this something I should do? Is this something God's inviting me to? And, you know, you think about these others who are slower to respond. It's almost like if you're in a group when the people that are the few that are always the talkers are going to be the ones that are heard, but others have something to say too. And it just, it may take a while. And if we can pause and give some space, they will rise up and they'll develop their gifts and we'll get the much needed rest. But there's a deeper level issue here too, Vicki, that we've researched and talked about on the show. And I feel like it just is worth mentioning here. What busyness does to the soul, what it does to our physical body. I mean, it messes with our metabolism. It lowers our immunities. And then there's the spiritual aspect that records have shown this, case stories have shown this, that Christians, especially in leadership, who don't know how to have an ebb to the flow, don't know how to rest, are extremely likely of making a misstep, like a moral failure. Because when you're tired, you're taking so many shortcuts, you let your guard down, everything is about getting through the moment, And it can all come crashing down. I mean, we don't even realize the damage, I should just try to say, that our lack of rest is doing to us. I'd love for you just to speak to that, because if we can step back and get a better picture, it may motivate us to put some guidelines in place before we crash and burn.
Well, no, you're so right, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that we live in a culture today where we esteem busyness. That's why I titled the chapter The Badge of Busyness. And so we even see that going on, that mindset going on in the church, where, you know, there's and I know I felt this way, and I've talked to other women who have felt this way as well, that if you are, you've got, I love how you said you've got some ebb with your flow, you know, you figured out that balance, then a lot of times we feel like people are looking at us and thinking we're lazy, right? Mm-hmm. We're not being productive in the kingdom. We're not doing everything we can for our children by signing them up for every activity under the sun, you know, and all of those things that we feel pressure now, especially when we see everybody's, you know, highlight reel on social media.
Right.
And we are reminded of what we're not doing, you know, to measure up, so, you know, according to our own, where we put the bar. And so you're so right. It's just we're ripe for all kinds of, like you said, missteps. We're ripe for burnout. We're ripe for, you know, it's spinning off into anxiety and stress and physical ailments. I talk about in the chapter the, you know, heart disease and all kinds of things that, you know, when they start to look at what are the factors, the variables with even a lot of these illnesses out there, it's a lack of physical rest. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we should conclude that this is going to have a huge toll spiritually on our lives as well. But we got to get past this whole idea that rest is laziness because God mandates it in Scripture. And we've got to, you know, we've got to give ourselves permission to rest and learn to be still and soak up, you know, God's presence in our lives and to allow that margin throughout our, you know, each of our days.
Mm. We've got about a minute and a half before we take our next break, but just my thoughts are, Vicki, that rest, to not rest to me, can really come from a place of pride. Like you're somehow the exception, not you, but I mean, we are somehow the exception to the rule. And I think rest actually is an act of faith, because you're saying by hitting pause, hitting the brakes and not doing everything, I'm saying that more rests on God's shoulders than on mine. I mean, it really is a place of replenishment when we humble ourselves and engage our faith enough to rest, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you said that so beautifully, because that's really the conclusion I came to in tapping into why do I keep falling into this trap of chronic busyness. And I mentioned that mine was, you know, related to my identity. And when I pulled out of so many different things, that's exactly what happened. I was forced to then frame my identity in Christ. And, you know, it's one of those things I had a head knowledge of. I wrote about it. I spoke about it. I told other women they should do that. But when the rubber hit the road, I was struggling to do that myself. And, you know, and so this, for me, it ended up being so healing to feel like I was enough apart from all those things I had been doing.
That is a good word. Are you enough apart from all the things you've been doing this holiday season? This is a great time to stop striving and know that He's God. Talking to Vicki Courtney today, when we come back, I'm going to read a list from her book. You might be too busy if, for example, if you struggle to say no when asked to do something, you might be too busy. I'll read the rest of that list when we come back. More with Vicki Courtney in a moment. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Vicki Courtney today about a recovery plan for weary souls. And so often, you know what, we put this off till after the holidays as if to say, I'm going to keep up the rat race all the way through the holidays. I just got to get through them. But you remember, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, our King. And if there's ever a time to push pause, to have some margin, have some space to rest, and be replenished in God's presence. I think now's the time. It will make your holiday season so much more memorable. And we've got a few copies of Vicki's book. We'd love to get them into your hands. Let's see, today is Thursday. So if you call in and chime into the conversation or email me, we'd get them out in the mail tomorrow. You'll have it by the beginning of next week. And just some good reading to get you ready as you enter into this holiday season. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. So I'm going to read some of these from your list. You might be too busy if, Vicki, I'd love to have you speak to them. You might be too busy if you struggle to say no when asked to do something, even when you know you don't have time to add anything else to your plate. Okay, we touched on that a little bit, but diagnose the issue. If someone's listening going, okay, that's me. I already have too much on my plate, but I still can't say no. Diagnose the issue. What's the issue?
Well, again, I go back to those payoffs. You know, is this something that, you know, I think for a lot of people it boils down to identity, but for some people it's just that they've gotten in a bad habit, you know, that they've bought into the culture's lie that unless you're doing something all the time, then you're lazy. Mm. And so, again, I talk to a lot of women, they're like, I just needed to hear that I have permission not to do these things.
Right.
And that it's okay. And not only is it okay, but God encourages it. That, you know, if we're too busy, if our days are so filled with so many activities that we are literally on fumes and it edges out time spent with the Lord, then we're too busy.
You know, I think it is. I think our no muscle has totally atrophied. You know what I mean? Because we got to be able to say no for ourselves. We also got to say no to ourselves. Like, just because I could eat that doesn't mean I should. Just because I could watch that doesn't mean I should. And I just think engaging and exercising the no, both for ourselves and to ourselves, is critical to be healthy, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you, Susie, after I began this road of healing and I took whatever I could off my, you know, plate, and then, you know, during that time, you're getting asked because you're the person everybody asked to do it, right? Mm. You're still getting asked to do things. I got really, really good at saying no. To where then I got a reputation for a while there. Don't ask her. She won't say it.
She's the no queen.
Yeah. And so I just had kind of I would tell people, you know what, I'm in recovery from overcommitment right now. And so people really respected that.
Yeah.
They would, you know, they usually would honor that. I said, I messed up. I overcommitted. My soul's on life support. And it's got to be a no right now.
So good. And you know what? As you said, who doesn't relate to that? If you can be that straight and honest and confident about it versus sheepish and apologetic about it, just to say, golly, I wish I could. I can't, you know. All right. You might be too busy if you operate at a hurried pace throughout your entire day. Does that kind of go with the first one, that the payoff is, or it's just an overused kind of, what's the mode? You know, the mode that we haven't gotten ourselves unstuck from it?
Possibly, but I think it's also I think it's a consequence of the first thing, you know, of overcommitting to where, you know, you all of a sudden you realize, how am I going to fit all of this into my day? And so in order to make it fit, we find ourselves literally flying from one place to another. You know, you've got your kids signed up for multiple activities and you've got to get through the homework stuff and on and on. And I tell you what, there's nothing like a toddler to slow you down, right? And so I've got a couple of grandsons, and that's when I realized that I had really grown accustomed to this pace of, you know, doing everything as quickly as possible. And that first grandchild came along, and I thought, you know what, I want to savor this. I want to stop and let him pick flowers along the way when we're walking and not rush him along. And I almost look back with regret and wondered, did I not enjoy those moments? I know for the most part that I did, but if I could, you know, encourage the young mothers listening, if I could go back and do it again, I would take a lot of things off my plate, knowing that there are other people that can lead in all the different things that I was leading in. And I'm sure I'd use my gifts and talents and lead in some things that God was calling me to do, but once again, you don't have to do it all. And I would enjoy those moments because we know those moments fly by.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to wish that you had slowed down.
If you realize, you know, if we can get that, I feel the same way, you know, that we have nothing to prove, all of eternity to live for. And if young moms can grab a hold of that and start to get comfortable in their own skin, comfortable in their own story, I think they'll have less regrets and the striving would take a back seat. Okay, you have a hard time. You might be too busy if you have a hard time leaving your work behind, and it often bleeds over into your home life. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, you know, this one's interesting because I think that we used to, you know, back in the day, if I can be the old timer saying things, You know, it used to be that the workday ended at, you know, 5 to 6, and you come home and your work was left behind, right? Mm-hmm. And so now our lives have, you know, our work lives have bled over. And when I say work, I mean, there may be some women that they don't work full time, but we're all working, right? I mean, you're doing something. And so even volunteer activity, people text you around the clock, they send you emails, you check things and you go, oh no, I forgot to do this. I've got this deadline to meet, or I've got to take care of this for the school final auction, whatever it is on your plate. We're still working, you know, past work hours. And so now that we're connected around the clock, it's hard for us to, you know, to find that line between work and rest, or work and play, or work and leisure, and to cut it off somewhere. And so, yeah, it's gotten really complicated.
877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Would love to get a copy of Rest Assured in your hands for a Merry Christmas present. You could start reading this before we hit the, well, we already are smack dab in it. But if you start reading, you'll start to learn to rest, and you don't have to postpone till after Christmas, right? Well, Mary's checking in from Eden Prairie. She's got a question for you today. Mary, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I love what you're talking about. I am a very good rester. I've learned over the years. I am now a grandmother, but I still teach a Bible study and teach a junior high Sunday school class. But my question for you today is how to graciously respond to those women in your life that almost are bragging about how busy they are, how many Christmas cookies they have to bake, and how many Christmas cards, and blah, 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 and almost I kind of want to say to them, who said you have to? But then I feel like that's sort of rude. So what's a good comeback line that would be gracious, but I don't want to feed into the problem?
Good question, Mary. What do you say, Vicki?
It's so funny she mentions that, because I actually step on my own toes in that first chapter and call myself out on, you know, I listen to myself tell someone one time, like, hey, how are things going? And, you know, you do the whole, oh, I've got this going on, I have a deadline, and I'm traveling this weekend, and I have another event. And I share in the book, I want to go back and slap myself silly and say, what is wrong with you? Do you understand something is wrong with you? And so I don't know that there's, you know, it's tricky, isn't it? Because you don't want to be that person who's, you know, the bossy know-it-all. But at the same time, I think we do need to be concerned and not be afraid to express concern when we see someone, you know, going 90 miles a minute. My daughter-in-law, we joke because she's a lot like my personality in that she overcommits. And then she's mad. You know, we get mad at ourselves. And then the things come due, whatever it is, or you're hosting the Christmas party, but you were already, you know, you had too much on your plate and everybody's fighting in the house. there's so much stress. And so, you know, I tell her, don't do what I did. You don't have to do it all. And so I don't feel like I'm the, maybe she would say I'm the bossy mother-in-law now that I think about that. No, but she said that she, you know, she works for me. And so we talk about it a lot, and she's like, keep reminding me, keep telling me it's okay. I don't have to do all these things. I don't have to sign my 4-year-old up for all these different activities. You're not going to remember them anyway, right?
Mary, too, I was thinking, you know, to say what you've learned, you know what I mean, in the most gracious way, to say, boy, you know, we live in such a fast-paced culture. I'm not sure even how you do it all, but let me tell you something. In my own culture, my own days, when I look back, this is what I wish I would have done different. This is what I was so glad that I did. But maybe in a gracious way, making it your own story might be helpful. And those who are teachable hopefully will grab it. And those who are not teachable won't hear you anyway. But thank you for that call. 877-933-2484. You might be too busy if you feel panicked when unexpected situations threaten to wreck your well-planned day because you have a little wiggle room. You have just little wiggle room in your schedule. And the one before that I skipped over by accident was you get impatient when things don't move along as quickly as you'd like. Maybe speak to both of those, because they speak to kind of a frantic pace with not much breathing room. And so it is maybe an incident waiting to happen.
Well, and that's what, you know, typically I'd find myself, you know, I'd commit to these things, and in theory it looked like I had blank spaces to do it on my calendar. But I never factored into the equation the unexpected things that happen that you had zero control over. You know, I got up this morning and guess what? One of my dogs had thrown up all over the living room rug and it took me an hour to clean up the mess. And, you know, we don't factor those things or any margin into our day to allow for the unexpected. My daughter-in-law called several hours ago and wanted me to meet her at the pediatrician's office. She was taking both boys in for a well check. And now that I've actually factored some margin into my days, I was able to say, you know what, I can do it. I'll meet you there. I'll help you out. And so these are the things that before I would have to miss those things because I would panic when I looked at my calendar each day. And if something unexpected came up, I'd think, where's that going to, you know, where's, how am I going to fit this all in? And then you're in more of a frenzy than you were before the day ever began.
Mm-hmm. And here's another one because it's like an overdrive. It's like our muscle is locked into that position. When you say you don't easily settle down and relax, even in rare moments when you are still, your mind is engaged and racing. It's almost like that adrenaline overdrive. Speak to that if you would.
It really is. And I think one way some of your listeners may know if they have that issue is, do you feel guilty for resting? Do you feel guilty for doing absolutely nothing? You know, and that was a problem for me, or something, even a leisure-related activity. I would find myself feeling guilty if I thumbed through a magazine. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I've got so many other things to do. There are ministry things to do. There's, you know, I mean, whatever it is that, you know, is on your mental that you're scrolling it all the time, these are the things that have to be done. Can you catch your breath and actually enjoy it? Do you have a hobby you enjoy? And that's why I really wanted to cover in part two, you know, some solutions even in regard to solitude, that it's okay to get away by yourself. It's okay to certainly put your devices away somewhere and have some literally very, very quiet time. But it's also okay to have leisure activities that we enjoy that are not necessarily productive in the sense of, you know, being able to show in a column, well, this is how, you know, I was able to benefit the kingdom.
When we come back, that's what we're going to talk about then, the one thing needed, time for God, creating room to breathe, time for solitude, giving yourself a break, time for leisure, and to pay it forward, time for others. We'll talk about those when we come back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Vicki Courtney about her book, Rest Assured, A Recovery Plan for Weary Souls. Kathy's checking in from Jamestown, North Dakota with a really interesting insight. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say. Kathy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much. Really have enjoyed your comments. I really was struck by the comment when it's like, why do we have to give ourselves permission to not feel guilty when we don't do anything? And why does that seem to also cross over into our relationship with God, that somehow we have to be constantly productive to feel okay about ourselves with Him? And that is garbage. I know that is in my head, but to get it into your heart is a whole other story.
Mm, so true, Kathy. What do you say, Vicki?
Oh, well, I mean, she's so right. And this was one of the most freeing things in my recovery, you know, after my massive burnout, is that I realized that I hadn't been able to give myself, extend myself permission. But it was really as I began to pour through the scriptures and see that, you know, God mandates a Sabbath rest. He talks about, you know, just getting alone with Him. And we see numerous examples, or even Jesus, you know, after having a busy day of healing and casting out demons and, you know, all of those things, he got away alone, you know, to pray. When he could have stuck around and continued to heal people, of course, they did find him. If you know the rest of that story, they hunted him down. But it was interesting because he didn't fulfill what their requests were. He said, it's time to move to the next town. And so, you know, I began to see where even Jesus knew how to have boundaries and know, okay, first of all, I need to get away to a desolate place to pray. But then also, it's okay for me to say no, to basically say, I can't, or he could meet all the needs, but I'm not called to meet all these needs.
Thanks, Kathy, for that call. You get a copy of Vicki's book, Rest Assured. Appreciate your insight so much. So the one thing that gets knocked off center, that knocks us completely off of balance in due time, is prioritizing our time with the Lord. And speak to that, because that's step one in your recovery plan.
Yeah, you know, I've always, I've taught on this subject for many years. I'm headed out of town tomorrow to speak on the topic of Mary and Martha. And one of the reasons I think I, you know, God keeps leading me back to the passage in Luke 10 of the two sisters is, you know, just to remind your listeners, you've got Jesus is a very important house guest in their home, and Martha was distracted, the Bible tells us, with much, much serving, while Mary had found the one thing needed. She was sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. And so I know God continues to remind me of that passage because I have these Martha tendencies where I'm distracted by many things. And so, you know, I like to break down that verse of, you know, what does that really look like to find the one thing needed? And we go back to that picture of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and yet we know Martha is frustrated. She wanted Mary to join her and helping prepare for, fulfill all the things that needed to be done for this, you know, dinner she was preparing or whatever it was, all those duties. And yet she chose instead the one thing needed, or some translations say the good portion. And so we have to realize that is the good portion.
Okay.
And
sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was looking at, I got ahead of myself. Sorry about that, Vicki. But I was looking at the next step, create room to breathe, time for solitude. In my own life, I know the difference between these two. But I'm thinking someone might think, okay, how is time for God and time for solitude, how are they two different things? Is there a distinction in your mind?
Well, you know, I think that they can definitely blend together. But for me, you know, time alone with God often looks like, you know, opening up his word, praying, talking to him throughout the day. We know that prayer, you know, tells us to pray continually. So it's an ongoing conversation. Time alone is really where we can actually, we're not always even opening up our Bibles. We're not necessarily even saying anything, but we really learn to just enjoy and embrace silence and do some listening, if you will. The 23rd Psalm, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that look like for us? Where, you know, how can we have some solitude in our lives today in a world where we're constantly, you know, overconnected, and we don't even, you know, go to the bathroom without our phones and that sort of thing? But to, you know, really take charge of that area of our lives and build solitude back into our lives. And I honestly think this is going to be the biggest need for the generations coming, you know, after us, is having to learn to draw boundaries in regard to that, and make sure that their devices are working for them and not the other way around. And, you know, we know that we can be enslaved to things like that, and they can become our masters if we're not careful. And so, you know, we have to create solitude in our lives and take charge of that area and make, you know, do whatever it takes to make sure that we have that margin built into our lives.
I don't remember which famous dead guy said this, and I'm going to just, it's a paraphrase of what he said, but something that nobody has deep things to say who doesn't also spend deep and rich time of solitude and time with God. In other words, it's the solitude is where the river runs deep, so to speak. But in this culture, I totally agree with you, where there, you know, everything runs wide, not deep. Skimming the surface on relationships, on interactions, it just runs so wide and not deep. But I feel like with the chaos in our world and how things are being shaken, you need some people who can be much with God, go deep with him, have solitude, so that they can discern on a much deeper level what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying to the church today. And I just feel like we can't get there in this rat race, skim the surface pace. Somebody's got to be getting alone with God and be listening, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the key questions that I ask myself, and I wrote about this in the book, is just that simple question, is this good for my soul? And once I began to really ask myself that question, I tell you what, I started logging off social media. I started drawing boundaries in my life as far as, okay, I'm only going to get on a couple of days a week now. I'm going to give myself maybe 10 minutes max. Because what that does, Susie, is if we are constantly bombarded with reminders of all the bad news in the world, and, you know, when just even silly things like, you know, getting on and seeing in your news feed the latest marriage proposal to go YouTube viral, mm-hmm. and before you know it, you have 45 minutes to an hour unaccounted for.
Yeah.
Of just wasted time, and you feel depressed, right?
Like
the world is an evil place, and those things may be true, but, you know, I've learned to ask myself, is this good for my soul? And then to take steps to basically pull away from those things that are not good for my soul, and like you said, to build some time into my day that I can really get deep with my, go deeper in my relationship with the Lord, spend some time in solitude as well. And be purposeful about that. And it's healing when you can finally do that. Then you find that those things, you feel empty, you know, when you go back to mm-hmm. them. It just doesn't do the trick because you've truly been filled.
Boy, I just can't challenge you enough listening today to plan not to have some plans. I mean, look ahead at the next 2-3 weeks and X off some days. Even keep the TV off, turn some music on, light the Christmas tree, and play a game, have a cup of cider, just rest, inhale, exhale, and count your blessings, you know? So, Vicki, we literally have about 2 minutes left before we pray. Can you, in those 2 minutes, make the case for a time for leisure and a time for others? Because those are steps in recovering your soul.
Oh, sure. Well, leisure, you know, one of the things that was interesting to me that I found is, like, even the whole idea of vacation, I read a statistic where 40% of Americans don't even take their paid vacation. I mean, it's paid. Mm. Paid leave, paid vacation. And so that shows you right there, you know, it tells you a lot about our culture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, well, it mentioned several reasons why they don't. They're afraid that their job, you know, somebody might replace them in their job, or that, you know, the things that they're supposed to do wouldn't get done. And, I mean, all this just litany of excuses of why they don't take paid vacation even. And so, you know, I tap into that, really how important that is, you know, and just the whole idea of even a sabbatical, taking, you know, back in Bible times, every 7 years, you know, there was, you let the crops lay fallow, you know, and you didn't do anything. And God honors that. I'm certainly not endorsing that we quit our jobs as the seventh year or say, I'll be back next year. But, you know, there are ways that we can learn to build that into our lives and how that's so very important. And then the whole idea of paying it forward, you know, I realized that in my life that I was missing out on meeting, you know, having the joy of serving others when I would pack so much even ministry work, right, into my life that I couldn't even meet a need that my neighbor had. You know, because I'm thinking, oh, well, I've signed up to do all these other things, or I have book deadlines, or I'm traveling to speak, and, you know, I'm meeting needs there, but I couldn't meet a neighbor's, you know, a need that they might have, that watch one of their kids or take them to an appointment or whatever that is. And so the things that come up where before I would feel sort of this, you know, anxiety if I heard those things, because I would think we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to be able to help serve out there, you know, out there and meet the needs around us, not all of them again. But my calendar was too full. Hmm. And so, you know, once we have margin in our days, we can begin to enjoy doing those things as well.
Hmm. This went so fast, Vicki, as we're getting ready to pray here. Would you pray for that person who's weary and needs a refreshment and a reset?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, and I know that there are many who are listening who can relate to what Susie and I have talked about today, and it's a common problem we know that is out there. And so I just pray that for those who are listening who feel kind of just that you're nudging their heart that they need to do something about this, that they would begin by coming to you and just laying their hearts bare before you, Lord, and telling you that, yeah, I'm absolutely exhausted, Lord. Show me what the next step is. And that if they could even just practice the discipline as they go through this next week of making sure that they have some time alone with you each and every day, and going back to asking you to show them specific ways that they can begin to redeem some time and have time first and foremost for you, Lord. That I would just pray for them that they could take that step, especially as the year comes to a close and there's a new year upon us. This is perfect time to make changes in our lives, Lord. Hmm. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Vicki, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. Title of the book is Rest Assured. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast on our website at myfaithradio.com. Meet you back here next time.